This time we'd like to invite our children to come forward for our children's moment. Y'all come over here. Come on up here, guys. Come on over here. Come on, over here. Y'all are creatures of habit already. All right. Now, do you all remember what this is? It's our Jesse tree, right? And remember, these are different ornaments. Now, there's a difference between a Jesse tree and a Chrismon tree, which is over there. A Jesse tree, it's got different symbols that point us to Jesus, and we learn all about the history leading up to Jesus' birth. And on a Chrismon tree, with chrismons, we have different symbols that show us and remind us of who Jesus is. So I wanted to point out this ornament today. Can everyone see what this is? What does that look like? A train? No, it's not a train. It's Solomon's temple. Yes. Very close, though. This temple is on the move, all right? So this is Solomon's temple. And in today's passage from Isaiah, we're going to be talking about people returning. Isaiah is writing to people who have been moved from their homes, and they desperately desire to come back and to worship at the temple. And so today, as we consider that, I want us to be reminded that every time we come here on Sundays, when we come here, we're returning home to worship. We're returning to God's house, and we're having the opportunity to fellowship with all of our brothers and sisters. Look at all your brothers and sisters out there. They're behind you. You turn around if you want. Don't worry. They think it's adorable. They'll love it. They'll eat it up. All right? So I want us to... Oh, no, no, no. Okay. That's not as adorable as we would have thought. So I want us to remember today that every time we come to church, we're returning home. Okay? So let's pray. All right. Okay. There it is right there. All right. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for this place that we can come and worship. And we pray that you would remind us each and every day of your great love for us, Lord. And every week as we return home, may we be reminded of your great love in Christ Jesus. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can stop touching the tree and go downstairs. A little more interactive than we would like. No, it's all right. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 35. It's chapter 35 in its entirety, verses 1 through 10. Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of our Lord. The desert and the dry land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. They will burst into bloom and rejoice with joy and singing. They will receive the glory of Lebanon, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the Lord's glory, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and support the unsteady knees. Say to those who are panicking, be strong, don't fear. Here is your God, coming with vengeance, with divine retribution. God will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be cleared. Then the lame will leap like the deer, and the tongues of the speechless will sing. Waters will spring up in the desert, and streams in the wilderness. The burning sand will become a pool, and the thirsty ground fountains of water. The jackal's habitat a pasture. Grass will become reeds and rushes. A highway will be there. It will be called the Holy Way. The unclean won't travel on it, but it will be for those walking on that way. Even fools won't get lost on it. No lion will be there, and no predator will go up on it. None of these will be there. Only the redeemed will walk on it. The Lord's ransomed ones will return and enter Zion with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. Happiness and joy will overwhelm them. Grief and groaning will flee away. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Again, for the opportunity we have to gather in your house. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me. May they be your words and not my words. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to comprehend, our hearts to receive. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know about you, but if you're anything like me, there have to be some things that happen or things that you see in order for it to be Christmas. Anyone like that? There's a few things that have got to take place. For me, I've got to see the Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, the claymation. Love that. Got to see it every year. It's my favorite. I love that. I'm a big fan of the Hershey's Kisses commercial where they're doing the bells. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's not Christmas until I see that. I haven't seen it yet, so we're not quite there yet. Another thing that I've got to see, and maybe you remember this. Any of you remember those Folgers commercials where we've got the child returning home, the adult child that returns home, and they come in the doors very quiet, and the younger sibling or cousin or whatever comes down the stairs and says, oh, shh, be quiet, be quiet. So, of course, they go into the kitchen and they put the Folgers on, and as the coffee is getting ready, the parents, who are doing a wonderful job protecting their house, wake to the smell of the coffee, and they come downstairs, and there's this joyous reunion, right, that takes place. And then the tagline comes in, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. And we know that's not true. The best part of waking up is the reunion that takes place at the bottom of the stairs. There just happens to be coffee in this story. But Folgers has done a great job of selling this happy image to us. Some of these things have to take place in order for it to start to feel like that time of the year. There's this returning home and this joyous reunion. And Isaiah, in this passage, long before the Folgers commercial comes out, speaks of Israel's return home. He's kind of trying to help paint a picture of what it's going to look like when we are reunited, right? When we come back home, and the joy and the gladness that will accompany this reunion. Hopefully there will be some coffee there. This passage from Isaiah, this 35th chapter, is very reminiscent of the pilgrimage psalms that we have in the book of Psalms. Many of the psalms that we read and that we hear of in the book of Psalms are pilgrimage songs that they would sing on their way to Mount Zion, on their way to Jerusalem. Now, we know that the Jews would go there three times a year, especially for the celebration of the Day of Atonement, and they would all travel up to Jerusalem. And on their way, they would sing these joyous songs. They would sing these pilgrimage songs. They're indeed singing these songs when Jesus enters on the donkey there on that Palm Sunday. They are in the midst of these joyous pilgrimage songs. But there is a joy in heading home, isn't there? There's a joy in going home and seeing the ones that you love, seeing those that maybe you have not seen for a while. For Israel, specifically in this passage, specifically as Isaiah is writing to them, they're wanting to return from exile. They're wanting to travel back and see the temple, which some of them have never seen and others have not seen for many, many years. And I wonder this morning, what does this joy look like for us? What does it mean for us to head home? A few years ago, when I was the associate at Hopkinsville, we would have three Christmas Eve services, one at 5, one at 8, and one at 11. And I've always loved the 11 o'clock service. And I decided that year, I wasn't married, I hadn't even met Abby at this point, that I would surprise my parents and I would drive home. Now, I didn't drink coffee this time, and they don't drink coffee even still to this day, so I wasn't going to do any of that. But I coordinated with my brother, and he opened the back door. So I got my five-hour energy, very important. And at midnight, I left and went to Louisville. And my brother helped me kind of get in the house, and I stayed there in the living room. And when my parents came down, they saw me. No, my mom cried. Oh, this is the best present you could have gotten me. Good, because I totally forgot to buy you one. I'm so glad. So glad that worked out. you know, it's just this joyous reunion and had the opportunity to live that. And so when I think of returning home, that's kind of what I think of. That's kind of the image that goes through my mind. What does it mean for us to return home? Our story as Christians is a pilgrimage story. It is a story of journey. It is a traveling story. We cannot stay put. We cannot stay still. We see early in Genesis that Abraham is called to go. And God takes him to this place and he says, "Everywhere your foot steps, I will give to your descendants, who will be as numerous as the stars in the heaven and as numerous as the sand on the seashore." His story is one of travel. We have Moses and the Israelites traveling out of Egypt, right? Exiting this place and traveling on a slight detour for some 40 years in the wilderness on the way to the promised land, the place that they have been told they would inhabit. We have the prophets all throughout Scripture who are sent to God's people. Believe it or not, from time to time we mess things up and God needs to remind us how we are to go and what we are supposed to do. And that's what these prophets did. And so many of them traveled and they left their day jobs and they went and they prophesied to the people. The exiles whom Isaiah is writing to now have traveled and been taken from their homes and displaced and scattered all throughout the world, and now over the course of many years are slowly returning home, slowly traveling back. And then, of course, in this season, we remember the traveling of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to this place, born in a manger, born to Mary and Joseph. And throughout his life, does he stay put or does he tend to travel? He tends to itinerate back and forth, preaching this message of salvation and love. In the midst of this story, and I'm talking of the entirety of the Bible, the entirety of our story, we are promised a return home. We are promised to return home if we would follow the way and the truth and the life, if we would follow Jesus. Salvation almost is nothing more than that promise to return home, that fulfilled promise. And this is indeed cause for joy and celebration. Can I get a yay? Yay, there we go. I didn't ask for an amen. It was a lot easier to get a yay, so I'll remember that. In Advent, we await Christ's return home. Because indeed, this earth, this place was his home for many years. And we await his coming back. We await the resurrection of all things. Because as he was the first to be resurrected, so we know that there will be others. We remember today the journey that we are on, the pilgrimage of movement and reconciliation. It is not okay to stay put. It is not okay to remain stagnant. But we must continue on. Continue moving. Continue going. Continue this journey of reconciliation and sanctification. In verses 5 and 6, we see that the eyes will be opened of those who are blind. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like deer, the tongues will be loosened. Waters will spring in deserts, streams in the wilderness. And he goes on and continues to talk about all of the things that will happen. And you notice he only mentions a few that are going to take place in our lives, and all the rest takes place in nature. All of the rest is this reconciliation and this resurrection of this world, of this promised land that we have been given. The joy of the Lord will manifest itself not only in the restoration of his people as we return home, but in the restoration of the earth and the land that we have been promised. There has to be somewhere for us to return, and that place is here. That place is home, where he is preparing our rooms even now. He talks of this holy way in verse 8. And this holy way will be a way of safety. It will be safe passage and will keep everyone who is on it safe. And we're told those who will be on it, the ransomed, the redeemed, those who are holy. And in a bit of humor in verse 8, he says, even the fool won't get lost. Any fools out there this morning? Praise God that I won't even get lost. I don't even need my GPS. It'll just get me right there. All I got to do is follow it. I kind of get this image of the escalators that you've got in the elevator or in the airports. You know, they just kind of go. It's kind of nice because you really don't have to do anything, but you just keep going. Even a fool can't get lost on that. They'll figure it right out. Just keep going. Even the fool won't get lost. And like Israel before us, many of us are in the midst of maybe the wilderness. Maybe today you come to this place and you feel a little bit lost. Well, on the holy way, rest assured that you continue to move forward. With your faith and your trust in Christ, you continue to move forward. There is nothing that can stop. I think it's nice that we don't have to have it all figured out in order to get on the holy way. We just have to believe. We just have to have faith, and God's going to work it out with us and sometimes in spite of us. We're given safe passage on this route from the chaos of our lives to the order of God's holy city, to Mount Zion, to Jerusalem, where God's temple is. And we see that even the wilderness will become a place of joy. Even those places that we thought were places we did not want to go, even those darkest places, even those places that seemed awful, we see that they're bubbling up and streams are coming in, pools are taking place. Life is happening everywhere. And so we have reason to be joyful. Today we rejoice because God is here as he has promised. And he has come for one purpose. And that is to save us, we see in verse 4. He is here and he has come to save us. We rejoice. We rejoice today because God strengthens our hands. Hands which have been weakened by our failed attempts to fix everything on our own. Anybody tired this morning? Do anybody's hands ache because you've been trying to fix stuff on your own? Anybody got spiritual arthritis or spiritual carpal tunnel happening because you're trying to fix these things on your own? Allow God to strengthen your hands. We rejoice this morning because God supports our unsteady knees. Knees which have been bent by the weight of those burdens that we refuse to let go. Let go of those burdens today. As much as it pains me, let's take a chapter from the book of the movie Frozen and just let it go. And now try to get those words out of your head. Let it go. Allow God to strengthen you and bend the knee only in worship of God. We rejoice today because God reminds us in the midst of our panicking, in the midst of our anxiety, in the midst of our worry, to be strong and do not fear. Be strong this morning. Not of your own strength, but of the strength that God gives you. Do not fear this morning, because God is with us. He has come to save us. The passage we are on, this holy highway that he has put before us, is a place of safety. We rejoice because God excels in making a way where there is no way. We rejoice that on this holy way, God fixes us. He carries our burdens. He gives us strength. to carry on. I pray this morning that during this season of Advent, we remember the joy of home. We remember why it is we struggle, why it is we persevere, why it is we endure. Because we're on our way home. They say that home is where the heart is. And I ask us this morning, is your heart with God? Is it home? Is Jesus in your heart? Has he made residence in your very soul and in your heart? I pray that as the ransomed of God, we will enter Zion with singing and with joy. I pray that happiness and joy will overwhelm us. And notice what he says at the end. Grief and groaning will flee away. Praise God. Grief and groaning will flee away. And all of this can only happen when we recognize the wilderness that we are in and begin the journey home. So I pray this morning that we will be on our way home. Not just yet, we still got a hymn, but that we'll be on our way home. Ready to experience and to see God. Ready to reunite and bring others along with us. And may we sing those songs of joy as we go. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day that you have given to us. Lord, as we have lit the joy candle, Lord, as we have considered joy this morning, I pray that it will become a very great reality in our midst today, that we will be able to find our joy in you, and that you would enable us and strengthen us to return home. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you, and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.